Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Bridging the Gap again. I'm Corey Graham, Director of Communications for Powell County, and we're just going to jump right back into where we were yesterday with SPARC, an addiction recovery team here in Powell County.
Far as, I guess, somebody in the community that feel moved to help you all or want to, is there a way, I guess, who would they contact? And, I mean, I think it's simple enough to spell out what y'all's biggest needs are, whether it be space, financially, or other member volunteers. What is it that would be most advantageous for y'all to have to continue in what you're doing?
An advocacy center is what is upon my heart. You know, just like you said, James, how many years we didn't know that, who do you call? You know, if someone loses a job, they go to the unemployment office. If someone, you know, needs food, they go to the food bank or to the food stamp office. But if you have someone that falls into addiction, where do you go? The passion that we have as a group is to have a center office space where someone can come and they can say private, confidential, all this is confidential. My son, my daughter, I think is in addiction. My husband, myself, we're in addiction. Where do we go? Where do we start? What do we do? You know, let's get it before it happens. And then after it happens, let's lead them into the right direction, give them the right tools, put them in the right resources that we can help that family one-on-one. So if there was a centralized place, office space, someone to come, that way they would have a one-on-one, not a phone conference. You know, now they call us, we go out, we meet them. We may meet at Bryn's restaurant. We may meet in the court system. I might go in Robert's office. But a lot of times when you're dealing with someone that is dealing with addiction, you say, okay, meet me at the courthouse. What is the first thing they think? Trouble. You say, okay, meet me to eat. They don't want to be in a public setting. They're telling you their life story. They need a private setting. They need somewhere that they can trust you. So that's something that is a need for us, office space, funding to help pay for that. That is needed. Also, just people, volunteers. When someone comes to us, I mean, just like we started the Celebrate Recovery, we have 9 individuals that are now trained, you know, to, and we'll talk about that later, but are now trained to help sponsor people. There's a lot of work to this. When you help someone, we're not only helping that person, we're helping their children, we're helping their family, we're helping the individual when they go to rehab. Well, what happens when they get out of rehab? We got to have jobs. We want to make them an active person of society. So, you know, employment, you know, who will hire these? Who will give people a second chance? That matters.
Y'all kind of hit on it there. Naturally, all three of y'all have other lives, so you can't do this full time. And to think that there's three of you trying to basically serve a population of 12,614, I mean, is pretty amazing. And so I can imagine the mention of needing volunteers is a huge need. I guess if someone was wanting to help or felt moved to help y'all in that capacity, is there any special requirements? What would be the process or what do they need, any kind of training or anything to be able to be an asset to y'all starting out?
Starting out, James, I think it's just a passion and an interest to help people. If they come to us, they could be a part of our Celebrate Recovery movement, which is the curriculum that we all have been trained on. And we've been working on that since September. We plan on doing other what's called step studies to get others trained up for leadership in that program as we move forward. So that's something we could do to offer them the training that they would need and the encouragement they would need to step out and lead and help us with the volunteerism. But that movement will be huge with this, because if we can get more people on board to help, like you said, the three of us have jobs, we have families, we have lives outside of this movement, but we are just all giving volunteer time to help do this work for really for God and for our community. So anybody else who wants to join is welcome. We can definitely give them the guidance and tools they need to help us with this.
And I'm sure some people may be intimidated, but y'all probably have a need for everybody's got some kind of skill set. So I'm sure regardless of how limited or how talented someone is, they've got a skill set that could be lend to y'all's work and be useful and helpful to you all, I'm sure. So
we have had members come who weren't comfortable with actually sitting down with people who are in recovery or in active addiction, and they're providing childcare for our meetings. We have folks who are preparing food for some of our meetings coming forward. So there are different things that may seem small, But it's an act of volunteerism that we need for this group to be successful and to be able to reach people. So we would honestly welcome anybody who has a passion for helping others to come to us and try to figure out what skill set they have and how we could apply it to this.
Of course, I guess getting back to the point, the fact of the matter is some of the work y'all do requires funds, and naturally y'all are have no per se funding source other than, like you said, y'all been able to solicit and obtain a few grants. And I think, unfortunately, Kentucky's just like the rest of the nation, we're kind of in a reactive mode to the drug problem right now, and that's kind of part of the fact. So finally some of the money may be starting to come to see some of these things, but if somebody had funds or wanted to donate in that capacity, how could they go about doing that? Or
the best thing for them to do, James, would be to reach out to Janelle, Stephen, or I, and we could direct them further on that. We're happy to take donations and provide a letter for them for tax purposes for those donations. The other piece is we're hopeful to have more grant writing coming forward. Again, that's a time constraint thing in our lives, and some of it is a skill thing. So if there's someone who's a grant writer who would want to help us and be passionate about volunteering that skill, we would be happy to guide them in looking at the grants that we've looked at and hope to apply for in the future as well. But any donations, people could contact any of the three of us and we could get them connected to helping Spark.
I think beyond that, you'd mentioned y'all had received your nonprofit status, so naturally that's a tax deductible donation to anybody that want to. And I guess in that same light, if y'all was talking about trying to work with people through the process, even to the point of hopefully getting them employed after they get help, so I would imagine potentially like dress clothes donations or things to help those people be in a position to do a job interview or something would be kind of things needed as well, probably.
Yes. It would be good if those that have businesses would reach out to us and let us know, you know, if we have someone that's in recovery that we feel is ready to start a job, let us know. Let us start making a list of Powell County. I do have a list of Winchester. I stopped by the Beacon of Hope, which we're very in connection with them. But, you know, let's start a list of who can hire who. And that way we can help them sit down, do interviews, fill out applications, and get healing our community through each other.
I guess in your all's work so far, I guess we kind of didn't really set up when exactly you was kind of on the ground running. Do you have any idea how many people y'all have worked with up to this time, or just roughly, like I said, you don't have to?
I can honestly say through the court system, we have filed about 47 Casey's Laws, which that includes their families. So I say since December 1st of 2015, we've probably helped about 300 people, families, because through just the Casey's Laws, daily our phones ring and we do coordinate people to jobs out of the county or in the county, or also help people get into, not just through the Casey's Law, just a mother that's crying in need, just want prayer. Just the other day, I had a lady from Irvine call me, just a spiritual thing. Stephen called and she got connection with us and we helped get her son in treatment, and now she's showing up at our family support meeting. So, we have another young lady from Wolf County, her and her son, and she is coming to our family support meeting. So since December of the 1st of 2015, I say we have, honestly, I could say we've reached at least 500 people. I'm talking to them, helping them through treatment, helping them with their families, their children, and reaching out to them.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, beyond the good that's been done in reaching out that number of people, if you really want to try to quantify that and how many arrests, overdoses, kind of things, court, people tied up in court that y'all avoided through this work, it's amazing the financial implications you've had on Powell County and even more importantly, these people's lives. So that's very good work. And it's amazing when you have such a small group, but that much passion, just what y'all been able to facilitate doing in this short of time. And I know we're very lucky to have you all, and hopefully it can continue to grow and give us a tool to address this problem we're facing.
You know, James, saying that, even our officers are telling when they go into domestic violence, or say they go, an officer will come to me and say, I have a young man that was in the back of my police car and he needs help, and I can tell he's truly needing help. Will you go to the jail and see him? Or I have a young lady. Even the officers are seeing that, you know, this is something that we're going and helping and getting them treatment. So I see as a community, our officers as well as our judges, lawyers, doctors, therapists, pastors, ministerial association, they've said they'll do anything they can to help us also. I'm seeing us come together and for one cause, and that's for to heal each other.
Lisa, and I think you touched on it. Really, I think something we failed to really talk about is beyond the drug epidemic, I think is much educating the public, like you said, to the mentality or the how they perceive addiction and things, and realize it's not just that individual. And I guess getting the public's mindset in a little different, in tune with what we have to do to combat this problem, is very vital part of what you all do, as well as just the individuals that are addicts probably.
Yes. The big thing that we've done for that piece, James, is we do our family support and education group every Sunday. Anyone's welcome to come to that. They don't even have to be connected to anyone who's right. in addiction. They can just come and learn and support others. The other big piece is this year on May 13th, we will have our third annual recovery rally for Powell County. And what we do in that is Janelle and I and Stephen, we contact as many people as we can in the community, and Janelle reaches out to the same group of resources that we've been using from the first one, as well as additional ones that we come in contact with. And we reach those people asking, come to our county and set up a booth at our day that we're going to do this recovery rally, so that people can come out and see there is help, there is hope. And we've actually had people come who were in active addiction, and we know through the work we've done that they're story has changed. They are in recovery now. You know, at the first rally, that's actually how Janelle and I got connected initially, but she actually called me about 2 weeks before the first rally and said, I know you know about this stuff. I need your help. And she's lived next to my mother for a long time. So I basically went to her house and we decided, okay, here's what we've got to do. Here's a good agenda. And so it was really just organizing some of the vision and passion that she has about this work. And that connected us, and that rally was a success. And our success measure that day was, if we can get 30 people here and we can help one person who's in active addiction. And the one person that we helped actually set up a booth at our second annual recovery rally for the treatment program that actually saved his life. That was pretty amazing. And that was the success that we had from that. But in terms of people, we had about 48 people show up to that one. And then the next one, the numbers were, I think it was more like 130 some people. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but it definitely doubled, and we had double the resources as well. So we're looking forward to May 13th to see how many resources we're going to have. And it's an educational opportunity for this community. Anybody can come. It's just a day of testimonies, music, resources, education, food, and really just fellowship within your community to come out to the courthouse and say, I want to support this movement. I want to know what's going on with addiction, because I want to prevent it with people that I love, or I want to help somebody who's in it. Whatever your desire is, if you just want to come out and learn something to have knowledge, come out, because we really feel like the awareness piece is huge in this epidemic and fighting it.
I think another thing you touched on there was, you know, naturally the perseverance and patience to start this thing was huge. But also, like you said, when you're getting somewhere close in the neighborhood to 3 years, you're just now really starting to see some of the fruits of your labor. Not that somebody don't get initial help, but we all know that sometimes it takes more than once. But it's got to be real rewarding now to start mm-hmm. to see some of the people that initially got in have been successful mm-hmm. and actually, like I said, really get to exemplify the work mm-hmm. that you all have done, and to think the difference you've made mm-hmm. in not only that person, that life, and mm-hmm. how you've changed the complexion. So I don't think everybody's fit for it, but y'all are we're very blessed to have you, and that y'all have that mentality. It's, okay, as we're kind of getting to the end of this segment, like I said, y'all had mentioned some of the assistant programs you had in the rally, and we'll have the rest of this week we'll try to touch on them more specifically. I guess trying to close out today, I'd like to ask each of the three of you, do you have anything you'd like to say kind of in closing out this segment, what this has meant to you or what you would like to see it going forward? Or
just what our hope is and our goal is, it's not about just one person. It's not about us. It's not about a church. It's not about a certain place or thing of that nature. It's about people. It's about helping people, not only those in active addiction, but also the families, the grandparents, our community, the whole issue that's going on that we're all facing in our community. So if anybody wants to help get a hold of us, you can, you know, find our numbers, come send something to Janelle or Lisa or myself, just let us know what you can do. We can use you in any way, volunteers for transportation, for helping people, smiling, being nice, encouraging, feeding people, whatever the issue is. If you want to fund us, that would be great as well. And I know God will bless you for that outreach. So.